So that should be like, let's say, if from 2 hectares, one of the studies, from the study we did, the female household had smaller land size, but 30% more production on that smaller land. On a hectare, a female household produces about a metric ton, a little over a metric ton of coffee. For male households, that goes down to 750 kgs.
Wow. This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 4 of a 5-part series where we're talking about the sustainability of coffee in Ethiopia. And joining me is Sara Yurga from Addis, Ethiopia. And we are talking in this specific episode, Sara, about the current challenges of doing business in Ethiopia, in coffee in Ethiopia. So what are, in your mind, what are some of the, give us some insight into what the challenges of doing business in the coffee industry in Ethiopia are.
I can start from my own experience because I'm a coffee roaster, and setting up my roasting company, the first thing I faced was there was no information. No one was giving any information about how that works. So I had to learn every step by just doing it. Like, okay, what next? You go do this and you go register and you do, you need this. It was a learning experience, but I don't want another person to go to suffer like I did. So that's why we came up with the Resource Center at Women in Coffee, because we have things documented for everyone to follow, a certain procedure to start any business, like every other, you know, business registration. But also currently, I mean, it's been 10 years, over 10 years since I started Ya Coffee. When I started, it was the fact that I couldn't I was not able to source coffee for export roast. There was this regulation that specifically underlines export grade coffee was not going to be roasted locally. So every export grade coffee was exported. You cannot buy it locally. By that, it means I cannot have a contract with my with a buyer to export high grade, premium grade, export grade coffees, but reject that we buy from the local market.
Wait, and so if I understand that correctly, sorry, I'm a little confused. Yeah. Well, I'm not confused. I think I understand this correctly. I'm just surprised. So, so you're not allowed to use export grade coffee.
We're not.
You're only allowed to use the defects.
Yes. When I started the business, and 7 years.
For 7 years,
it went
that was
like
the rule.
For 7 years.
Wow.
That was the rule. I couldn't buy directly from producers. If I have to buy from the commodity exchange, it has, there was a certain volume I have to buy, which as a startup I couldn't afford. And it's not export grade as well. Just the what's left of export. So when we started Women in Coffee in 2000, officially registered in 2016, we joined the task force that was responsible for the major coffee sector reform. And one of the things that we changed was this regulation. because I was not exporting anything for 7 years. But, you know, that was a blessing in disguise somehow. Mm-hmm. For many people, it must have been difficult because some people went into roasting with big investment and they were stuck. But for me, it was a learning experience because I had to learn about how the coffee industry functions in general. I had to learn about the specialty coffee industry. I had to travel all over the place where in Europe, in US, in Africa, and see how people interact about coffee.
Mm.
It was eye-opening. Although there is some financial and emotional stress attached to it, because I was not doing exporting anything for 7 years, it was also an opportunity for both me and my husband to educate ourselves. That's when I became, like 2018, I became authorized specialty trainer. My husband became a master's in coffee and economics from ELE in 2016. So we took that time to learn, but it costed us a lot financially, and it was very challenging emotionally as well.
The only thing
we did not allow it to do is get us sick or physically break. So we were okay in that area. But once that the reform gave us a voice as women in coffee, that's where we started, you know, understanding the power of, you know, coming together, having a voice, a strong voice in the industry. That's where we understood, okay, if we put our heart in the right place, we can push forward and see some change. That's what gave us the energy also to continue as women in coffee, other than the fact that we need to work and be a voice to as many women as possible in the coffee industry, but also that, if we are engaged and if we are, out there, there is a chance that we will be heard and things will change. So one of the things that happened is I was also thanking the person that was responsible at the authority that time who called me on a Friday. He said, I want you to come on Saturday morning. We have something to do specifically for women and these regulations that are going to be issued very soon. So we had to sit in his office with his assistant and have the projector on running on the wall. Each word by word that a woman exporter can directly buy from a woman producer with no other criteria attached.
Wow.
That was an article we included in the new proclamation also.
Amazing.
So that was very powerful.
I can
imagine. And that is how, you know, when people have that
intention?
Intent and good intention and good heart, this is how far they can go.
Right.
And that's one example for me because this person really made it clear that he's there to support us no matter what. And he doesn't want anyone to tamper with the wording and whatever. So he was very specific, like, okay, if I go, if I am not here anymore, I want this to be like the rule of law and no one can, you know, fight it. And that still works. And that's why I wanted to talk about the reform that took place in 2018 that makes it easier for roasters like me to have access to export-grade coffee. Not only that, for over the sector in general, it changed a lot in terms of transaction, in terms of access to specialty coffee. And that's when the specialty coffee industry also started to grow. Mm. But again, there was COVID, remember? Mm-hmm. But still...
But none of us are forgetting
again,
that.
Again, there are also, exactly, there are, COVID also was another challenge. But what we did as Women in Coffee was just have a conversation about what it means. Like we were, at the first of COVID, we were so naive. We thought it will be like, you know.
2 weeks.
Over, 2 weeks.
We all did, my love.
Because it's 6 months. Okay, I know. But... you know, in the first 6 months, we finished all our webinars, the international one, the local one. talked about coffee and the logistics of it and whatever. And then 6 months later, we were like, okay, we are done. We're not going to talk about COVID anymore. That was it. We're done. So that was the biggest
challenge.
I don't
want to hear about any of these anymore.
I know. So that was, COVID was really a shock to everyone. But I think that's also the year where we exported more in terms of roasted coffee for me. And also good performance for green coffee as well. Because our airline, the Ethiopian Airlines, was one of the most active ones regardless of the situation globally. Ethiopian was flying. Mm-hmm. So it made it easier logistically to export roasted coffee, which was something that was very helpful for us. If we start talking about bureaucracy, I might take the whole next two sessions. So I'm not going to go there. But bureaucracy, of course, is one of the biggest hurdles in Ethiopia. There is a lot of paperwork, manual paperwork, when it comes to coffee, sourcing seriously from producers to logistics, the safety issue, tampering with the quality, like adulteration. I can tell you my first order of 5 bags of Guji, first grade, only one bag was first grade. The rest, I don't know what it was.
This is such a problem that happens in our industry.
Yes. So these are like, I think, global, but at the same time, the amount of paperwork you have to go through to bring to source coffee directly also as cumbersome, time-taking, draining, but you still do it anyways because you have to also work with the producers. At the end of the day, you also have this binding contract that you're going to buy all their coffee, so you have to buy. But for you to buy that, the logistical requirements, the as I said, the safety issue are for a roaster like me. So think about the big volume transactions for green coffee logistics and whatsoever. That's going to be even harder in many ways than I can understand because I'm not in the green coffee export so far.
Tell me, what is the big challenge for producers?
For producers, I can tell you just from the top of my head is skills and a little bit investment to sustain their production and their, it could be like what you call it. There is this safety net here in Addis that people work, let's say they clean the city, they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just handing out cash, coffee is not a year-round activity. You can take care of the trees, once in a while, make sure there is enough, if you're using fertilizer. But the support can be geared towards, money for work. They can work in some other sectors, agricultural sectors. It could be community work. It could be anything, but they should sustain their families. They should be encouraged to sustain their families for at least that year. The longer sustainability agenda is complicated. I cannot tell you, unless we work towards an improved quality, improved yield from per hectare, because of the land size, they cannot go beyond a certain, volume of production. So that should be like, let's say, from 2 hectares, one of the studies, from the study we did, the female household had smaller land size, but 30% more production on that smaller land. On a hectare, a female household produces about a metric ton, a little over a metric ton of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
For male households, that goes down to 750 kgs.
Wow.
I'm telling you. So productivity also. You see, that's why we need to invest on women. So what I'm saying,
you're preaching to the choir, lady. I'm the person who's like, throw money at women. We will get shit done. I promise you, we will get it done.
Exactly. So with a smaller land size, more productivity, then why wouldn't we invest on women?
I agree.
At production level, it is about understanding what affects quality. They know it by default, but they are not, let's say, motivated to do it, because whether they rip it off or hand pick its cherry doesn't change the price they get. It's the same.
Yeah, wow. So
we have, why would you want to invest on?
Yeah, exactly.
On something that is not going to change how
drastically,
at least how you eat, how you live, how you the things we discussed earlier, the basic life needs. If you cannot fulfill those to your family, it is.
What's the point?
Then maybe the next step will be replacing coffee with some other product.
Which is
happening
all over the world, right? Coffee producers are tired of not getting paid.
In our case, it is cut the leaf.
Yep.
That is that they can harvest twice or three times a year.
Yep.
And it is exportable. It's locally
consumed.
Really, like, the local market is big. So they can make money off that. So why wouldn't they want to, you know?
Pay for your coffee. Yeah. Pay a good price for your coffee, folks. Now, listen, we have one episode left.
Because they love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we have one episode left, and we're going to be talking about the vibrancy of the cafe and coffee roasting culture in Ethiopia. So join us for our last episode, folks. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.